Okay, well, tonight's message is on Jesus Heals the Brokenhearted, Part 2. Get better, not bitter. And last week we talked about broken hearts. And I think all of us in this room here tonight have experienced a broken heart in one way or another, right? Amen. Maybe the loss of a loved one, the loss of a good friend, maybe a divorce, the loss of a job, the loss of a career, grief on the inside. We have all experienced a broken heart, right? Amen. And if you think about it, friends, how is a broken heart caused? What causes a broken heart, if you think about it? Being in relationship with somebody else, right? Amen. It's something that somebody says or does that can cause a broken heart on the inside, right? And we talked last week about several of the ways to heal or mend up the broken heart, right? Amen. And first and foremost, to mend up the broken heart that you may be experiencing, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He wants to be the one in full charge of your life. Amen? Amen. Another way to mend the broken heart that you may be having is to forgive yourself. All of us have done some pretty bad things in the past, right? But we cannot beat up on ourselves, friends. We can't keep going to the past. We've got to leave the past where it belongs. It belongs in the past. Forgive yourself. Release yourself of regret. I would have, I could have, I should have. Leave it in the past. God has got greater things in store for you. Amen?
Amen.
And tonight we're going to be delving into this, getting better and not bitter. Forgiveness. So we're going to study this tonight in a little bit of depth. In this lesson, we'll learn that to be healed of a broken heart, we must choose to forgive. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a choice.
There you go.
It is a choice. How to deal with bitterness, offense, and unforgiveness. You know, as we go about our daily activities in life, we will get offended, right, friends?
Amen.
Somebody will say or do something that does not quite sit right with us, right?
Amen.
The question is, will you allow that seed of offense to take place or take root in the soil of your heart? Say, I won't allow it to take root in the soil of my heart. One of the attacks that the enemy brings into people's lives to get them off track is resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, strife, and things that aggravate and irritate on the inside. Things that irritate on the inside. Friends, did you know that bitterness and unforgiveness can affect almost every part of a person's being? Can affect everything. It makes a slave of you. It can make a slave of you. You know, like Phil was saying earlier, somebody could have said or did something to offend you. And they may be just happy-go-lucky on their carefree way, not even thinking about it. And you may have allowed that thing they did to take root in your heart. You get offended. You can be in India. That person can be in Tulsa. And if you haven't forgiven them, guess what? They're controlling you. It's like carrying an extra burden you don't need to carry.
Amen.
Unforgiveness and bitterness can make a slave of you. Say tonight, I won't have any part of it. In Jesus' name. You know, they've shown medically that some cancers are linked to bitterness. Holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness can cause physical problems in your life.
Amen.
We're not going to have any part of it, right? In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, some people get offended at everybody and everything, causing them to write everybody off. Well, he said this, she did that, he said that, so you start writing people off. And when you start writing people off, guess what you do? You isolate yourself. And somebody once said that no man, no woman is an island unto himself.
Amen.
We're meant to be in relationship with others. We are social beings. Amen?
Amen.
But if we isolate ourselves through bitterness and unforgiveness, you know, when the enemy attacks, we're all alone. We're more susceptible more open to the enemy's attacks if we don't forgive. So we need to learn to walk in forgiveness every day of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
In Jesus' name. You know, the thing is this. You know, you're going to go through some hard times in life, friend. And if there's nobody there by your side because you've cut them off, who's there to grieve with you?
No one.
No one, right? But if you're going through a hard time and you've walked in forgiveness, then when you're going through that hard time, you've got somebody there to pray with you, right? Somebody to hold your hand and help bring you through it. Amen? That's it, man. So if you don't walk in forgiveness, you isolate yourself. That's another problem. You know, unforgiveness can cause problems in your spiritual walk with Almighty God. I might have mentioned this last week, but what is our eternal life, salvation, based upon? It's based on God's forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ, right? Now let's look at what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, just to briefly recap. This is what Jesus said, Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What is the scripture saying? If you walk in forgiveness toward your offenders, God will walk in forgiveness toward you. And your salvation then is secure. But if you don't walk in forgiveness towards your offenders, God won't walk in forgiveness toward you, and your salvation is in danger. How many want to go to heaven one day? Well, we need to forgive those who offend us so that when we do and we offend God, He will forgive us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so we've got to walk in forgiveness. And when you have bitterness with one individual and you don't resolve it, you can carry it into other relationships. Now, friends, listen to this. Unforgiveness is like the flu bug. Just a few months ago here in Oklahoma, we had a big outbreak of the flu, right? And when somebody has the flu and their immune system is weak, right, and they come into contact with another person and breathe on them, they can pass that flu bug on, right? And they may pass it on to another person that they're close to. And another person, right? That's what bitterness is like. It's like the flu bug. If you're full of bitterness on the inside, it will spill over out of you into your relationships with others. And we don't want this, right? Let's look at what the author of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Talking about this very thing of bitterness affecting not only you, but others that you're in relationship with. Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Friends, if you allow the seed of offense to be planted in the soil of your heart and you nurture it, how do you nurture a seed of offense? You talk about it. Oh, he did this and she did that and I can't believe he said this. And if you nurture that offense, eventually it'll become a root of bitterness. And that root of bitterness, if unchecked, can become a tree of hatred. How many here want a tree of hatred growing up on the inside?
No.
Not me. How about you?
Nobody.
Nobody, right? So when you're walking around with unforgiveness and bitterness, it causes you trouble and it can defile many. Bitterness, remember, is like the flu. I want to read you a story here tonight that illustrates this point. It's found in this issue called little magazine that's put out. It's called Character First. Series 3, number 10, forgiveness. It's a great story that illustrates this point, the high cost of bitterness. July 8th, 2003, workers at an aircraft parts manufacturing plant ran screaming for cover as Doug Williams opened fire with his 12-gauge shotgun. Williams had attended part of the annual sensitivity and ethics training session that morning, but before walking out, he reportedly told co-workers, "Y'all can handle this." He returned a few minutes later and opened fire, killing two. He then proceeded to the plant floor where he killed three more people before killing himself. Williams had worked at the Meridian, Mississippi plant for 19 years. Co-workers described him as an angry man who kept score of the co-workers and managers he believed had slighted him. Mr. Williams was mad at the world. This man had an issue with everybody, co-worker Hubert Threat told the Associated Press. The shooting shocked the surrounding community. Almost everyone knows someone who works in the building or has a relative who works in the building, Lauderdale County Board of Supervisors President Craig Hitt told an AP reporter. What did this man have on the inside? This man had bitterness and hatred on the inside. Not only did it cause him trouble, but what did it do? It caused many others to be defiled and to lose their lives. Friends, bitterness is not worth the price. Cut bitterness at the root. How do you cut bitterness at the roots? Through forgiveness. Through forgiveness. Now, just for a few minutes here, I want to talk about some of the ways that you forgive. Forgiveness involves release in three different ways. It involves release in three different ways. Number one, releasing somebody of the debt that you feel they owe you. Maybe you lent somebody some money and they promised to repay it. What does forgiveness do if the person is not able to repay? Forgiveness releases the debt, right? About a year ago, I had a friend that said, "Hey, Jonathan, come over to my house." He said, "I've got some work for you to do in the front of my house, some landscaping." He said, "If you do this work, I'll put a donation into your nonprofit." I said, "Okay, I'll do it." So I did it, and a few weeks went by. He didn't make good on his promise. A couple of months went by. He never made the donation. I thought to myself, man, I'm starting to get a little bitter on the inside. I don't like the way this feels. So what did I do? I communicated back to him and said, "Brother, I want to let you know, just take what you were going to sow into my ministry and take it as a seed into your ministry." Amen. So forgiveness is what? Is releasing somebody of the debt that you feel that they owe you, right? Jesus' name. It may be money. It may be an apology. Whatever. Well, man, he said something bad about me. He lied about me. The least he could do is apologize. Release that person of the apology you feel that they owe you. Number two, the first thing is to release them of the debt that they owe you. Forgiveness, the second area of release and forgiveness is this: releasing your offender from having to understand exactly how they offended you. Let me say that again. Releasing your offender from an understanding, having to understand exactly how they offended you. Now, you might have been trying to lose weight, for instance, right? Let's say you're on a diet, and a long-lost friend comes up to you and says, "Jack, Jonathan, Dale, it looks like you put on a lot of weight lately. It looks like you put on a few pounds." And you get offended. Friends, you got to let it go. That person was probably just trying to joke around with you, just playing around with you. Just release them from having to understand how they offended you, right? So releasing the person from having to understand how they hurt you is called damage control. If it's so small, just let it go. Don't even talk about it. Amen?
Amen.
And finally, forgiveness involves release of having to get revenge on the person who offended you. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." God will take care of it, friends.
Amen.
Forget about personal retaliation. "Well, he lied about me, and I want to get him back." That's human nature, right?
Yeah.
Human nature wants to get back. It wants to retaliate. But release yourself from having to retaliate against your offender. Leave it to God. God will take care of it. Amen?
Amen?
All right, so forgiveness involves three things. Releasing the person of the debt that they owe you, right? Number one, releasing the person of a minor offense of having to understand exactly how they offended you. And number three, releasing yourself from personal vengeance. Does that make sense? All right, right here, four ways to deal with bitterness and offense. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. Jesus tells us how to deal with offense and unforgiveness. Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Verse 19. Again, I tell you that if the two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. So how do you deal with somebody who offends you? So somebody says something about you and upsets you. First, go to the person alone and try to resolve the issue. Maybe they talked about your weight, as I said earlier. Man, I didn't do anything to offend you, man. I was just joking around with you. They don't get it. Jesus says, take one or two others along. Amen. Try to talk the situation out. Amen. The person still doesn't see how they offended you. At that point, what do? You bring it to the church. Then you bring it to the church. Well, does that mean you stand up on Sunday morning in the church and say, everybody, there's my offender? No, right? You bring it to the leadership of the church. And if the person still does not understand how they offended you, what do? What did Jesus say? You treat them as a pagan or a tax collector. How did Jesus treat the pagans and the tax collectors? He forgave them regardless. He forgave them regardless. And so should we walk in love regardless. Walk in a spirit of forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What is God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? God is love. God is a forgiver, right? Paul the Apostle wrote in Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore imitators of God. Amen. If we're to imitate God in this area, what does that mean? It means that we're to forgive 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you wake up in the morning, settle it in your heart. Offenses will come today, but I decide to forgive my offender in advance in Jesus' name, right?
Amen.
I decide to forgive that person. I will not hold bitterness against them. Bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting your offender to die. He's happy-go-lucky. He's cheerful. He doesn't even know what he did to offend you. And you're full of turmoil on the inside. You're only hurting yourself with bitterness, friends. Just let it go in Jesus' name. Amen? So Jesus gave us the outline on how to deal with offense. Now, I'd like to add a couple of points to this. In dealing or uprooting feelings of bitterness, what is another way to uproot feelings of bitterness? Go to the person. If he doesn't listen, take two others along. Still doesn't listen, bring it to the church. Then treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Do that. But in addition, to uproot feelings of bitterness, you've got to do what? You've got to start praying to God. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues. Now, Paul the Apostle, in 1 Corinthians 14, you don't have to turn there. Turn there. 1 Corinthians 14, I believe it's verse 4, talks about praying in tongues. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. What does the word edify mean? The word edifies means builds up. When you pray in a tongue to yourself in your private devotions, you are strengthening yourself on the inside with God's strength. Friends, let me tell you something tonight. It takes strength to forgive your offender. You cannot do it on mere natural strength. You need God's strength. How does God's strength come about? By praying in the Holy Spirit. God, this person has offended me. It is hurting me so bad. You start praying in the Spirit. Start praying in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues yet, start praying in English, and God will give you His supernatural divine strength. Amen. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will empower you on the inside to forgive your offender. But you got to start praying to God when that person hurts you, when he irritates you, when he aggravates you, when he frustrates you, when he offends you. Amen?
Amen.
And one last way to deal with uprooting feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness is this. Stop talking about your offender and his offense. How do you feed your feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness? How do you feed? You keep talking about it. Exactly. You keep rehearsing it. If you feed your feelings of unforgiveness by talking about the offense and your offender, guess what? You starve your love walk. And bitterness and unforgiveness become stronger and stronger when you talk about it. On the other hand, if you starve your feelings of bitterness by not talking about your offender and his offense, then you do what? You strengthen your love walk. You strengthen your forgiveness walk. Now, when you don't talk about your offender and his offense, you starve feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness. And what you starve eventually does what? It eventually dies. How many here tonight need some bitterness and unforgiveness to die? Some of us, right? Maybe all of us at one point or another. So let's stop talking about it in Jesus' name. Instead of talking about your offender and how he offended you and how she offended you and how your dad or your mom offended you when you were a child, start talking about the goodness of God.
Amen.
And God's love for you. Amen? Amen? That God is the author of good and that God is looking out for your best. That God has got something great in store for you. Start talking about good things.
Amen.
Start talking about God's goodness. Focus on the positive and eliminate the negative in Jesus' name, right?
Amen.
All right. So you follow Matthew 18, 15 and forward. You start praying in the Spirit and you stop talking about your offender and bitterness will have to die. Amen? All right, amen. There is power in unity to close off tonight. Psalm 133. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. And this is what it says in the Word of God. The psalmist writes this. He says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore." It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron. The oil represented the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit on the high priest. Whenever people come together in unity and harmony, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit are going to flow down from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. How do you walk in unity with others, friends? How do you do that? How do you walk in unity with other brothers and sisters? What's one of the main ways? Forgiveness. Just letting it go, releasing the person of the debt. And then in verse 3, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The water that comes off the mountains provides the moisture and dew. Much of the rainfall comes from the moisture off the mountains, and it provides water for the crops and water for the grass that the flocks and herds eat. So this is speaking of abundance and overflow. When people get together in unity and harmony, there is the commanded blessing of God. For there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore. How many here need some of God's blessing in their life? A miracle from God, more finances, healing in your body, peace in your emotions, joy in place of your mourning, deliverance from drugs and alcohol. What's the first step, friends? Reconcile with your offender. Let it go in the name of Jesus and forgive them of their wrong. In Jesus' name. All right, now let me mention this tonight. Forgiveness. How do you gauge or test whether you have really forgiven someone? How do you gauge it? How do you test it? Well, if the same feelings come up today that were there when the person offended you a month ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it's very possible that you have not forgiven that person quite yet. And how do you solve that? As we talked about, start praying to God for His divine power. It's going to be a supernatural miracle of God for us to forgive certain offenders. Amen?
Amen.
And friends, I'd like to tell you tonight this, that you may be in relationship with somebody who has offended you. Maybe they verbally offended you. Maybe they emotionally offended you. Maybe they physically violated you in some way. And you forgave them. You released them. Right?
Right.
But then they do it again. Verbally, emotionally, physically, they abuse you. And you forgive them again, but they do it again. Guess what? How do you forgive that person? How do you forgive that offender? You release yourself from personal retaliation, but you don't release that person from moral responsibility. What does that mean? If somebody offends you, and you're not into getting vengeance on them, you're like, well, you know what? I'm not going to personally retaliate. You don't do that. But at the same time, you've got to separate yourself from them. You may have to report them to the staff, to the law. Does that make sense? You forgive the person. How do you forgive them? By not getting personal vengeance. But at the same time, you can't free them from moral responsibility. And how do you do that? How do you keep them morally responsible for what they're doing? First, you separate yourself. And then you report it if you have to. Does that make sense? For those who are being offended and abused on a continual basis in a big way by somebody. If that makes sense. If it's a minor offense, just let it go. Don't even talk about it. But if it's constant abuse, major abuse, don't retaliate. But you've got to keep them morally responsible for what they did. By separating yourself and by reporting it in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? All right, all right.